The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Razorback videos, articles, and podcasts. Find them all at hitthatline.com. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. Got to tell everybody to invest in your family this summer with Doughboy Above Ground Pools, with the highest quality of above ground pools on the market today at Burton Pools and Spas. Doughboy Above Ground Pools is the biggest sale of the year. You get $1,000 off select Doughboy packages on above ground pools June 1st through June 11th. You can't afford to miss the sale in Fort Smith, 6121 South 0 Street, and also in Springdale at 725 South 48th off I-49. You can vacation at home this summer with Doughboy Above Ground Pools, your source for backyard fun. Burton Pools and Spas, over the past 30 years. You can check them out on the web at burtonpools.com. We were talking about talent and you know, the culture and how important it is and what you can remember. I think you even brought the comparison, Tyler, of looking at some high school side of things as far as football programs in the highest classification and whatnot. But, you know, when we revert it back to Arkansas baseball and Dave Van Horn, because that's really where the topic of conversation was started with, is it's just you try to make sense of it all, and you try to say and try to give yourself as a fan reasons why you can win a national championship. And also in some cases as a fan, you try to psych yourself and give you reasons why you won't win it. That way you're not as disappointed when it doesn't happen. But, you know, the talent wise side of things, though, it's just, even then, though, we talked about, because I think Dave Van Horn's had some high end talent, some of the most talented teams he's had. As a coach, he still didn't win a national championship. I felt like some of those teams were just loaded. You know, the year that you had Brett Eibner and Zach Cox and those guys that were all together just hitting the fool out of the ball. You had the years when you had Nick Schmidt and Jess Todd at the pitching staff. I mean, some of the best group of pitchers you'd ever have. They didn't even make it to the College World Series that year when they had those guys. So, I mean, even having talent, because I know people have been tweeting and saying it's more than talent. I think we're all saying, yes, it is more than talent. But you don't get to that next level without great players. It's basically the point we're making. I hope that's made clear. No,
well, but and now, to win a national championship, though, you're not winning a national championship just off of talent.
No.
The initial question or the initial statement was, we were talking about another sport, and we were just like, hey, well, at the end of the day, though, you have to have those players to even have a chance. But yeah, but I mean, you know, like, guys aren't there has to be some type of leadership or chemistry. And for some reason, and people get it twisted sometimes, you can have a bad locker room, but the bad locker room has a leader, and they have a guy that steers them either to the left or steers them to the right. Overall, it still can be a toxic room, but that leader knows how to manipulate and knows how to push buttons, because there's no way that we believe, oh, all championship teams or all teams that end up being great have had no problems, have a great locker room, a great culture, great right. coaching. You know, like, that's just not. So the most important thing, and we get too locked into, if you have a good culture, the most important thing is having a leader. And having a guy that can steer the ship either to the left or to the right. And that's more important than the culture or the coach or you know, or this or that. Because that leader, that captain, can get the guys on board and make the guys play when they need to play. And a lot of championship teams have that.
That's right. And it's so funny you're saying it, because, again, everybody that, like, that's in sports and has been in sports, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear. They want to hear like in the storybook of like how it's supposed to be in the locker room. Well, on championship teams, the locker room's always great. Well, I mean, it's almost like you just want to be the Patriots. You've got a Tom Brady that, like, leads everybody, and he's like the good guy, and he's, you know, he's John Wayne in the locker room, and he's always fighting the good and the bad guy. I mean, it, unfortunately, it's not always like that. I mean, that's what's so, I think, compelling about the Patriots, is they've got a leader, and he's the good guy. But there, I mean, there's no question in sports and on successful and championship teams, there's been toxic locker rooms, and not toxic from the standpoint of it's not worth winning games, but it's people pointing fingers, yelling at each other, upset, pushing buttons. But there's typically, like Nick said, there's typically a guy that it all goes through. And I mean, don't tell me that Michael Jordan in his greatest days did not have some nose to nose meetings in the locker room.
For sure.
Well, okay. I mean, no. I know that he punched Steve Kerr in the face.
I mean, don't tell me that. So, I mean, yeah. Would you want to put your kids in the locker room and go, "This is how success, you know, the greatest teams of all time are"? No, because we try to shield that out of the game because, oh, that's no good. But the reality of the situation is, yeah, there is a storm in every locker room. And if you don't go through the storm, you don't grow. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I would bet that this year within the Arkansas baseball locker rooms, we kind of transition back to that, there has been a storm somewhere along the way. And there's been gloves thrown. There's been bats hit against the locker. There's been Gatorades thrown. I mean, there's just those things happen, and there's been a time or two where I'm sure Dave Van Horn gets in the locker room, and gets on the bus, and the cameras aren't going to be allowed, and that's just that's the nature of the game of sports, and one of the reasons that I'm passionate about and talking about this morning. I think that's why we all play and enjoy it so much.
Well, and Tyler, I know that since you were on a very successful team at Arkansas, and, you know, people look back to those teams, you know, in 2010, 2011, and, you know, fans, because that's the fan perspective. Fans just see the product on the field, and they're like, wow, everything must be perfect in the locker room because they wouldn't be this good without it. But I'm sure that you remember quite a few times where there was some very intense moments there, even in games that you guys won. And that were, seemed like really good times for the Razorbacks. I'm sure that there was times where it wasn't so good, at least on the inside.
Well, and even guys that you played with, and I mean certain people, and you're not sure why they're the guy that everybody follows, but they've got some kind of it factor that it's not, doesn't have to correlate with off the field, doesn't have to do with does he do the right things off the field, but on the field and during the times, people emerge and personalities emerge and people emerge that come out and it's kind of interesting to watch and this is where I need a shrink and a psychologist to like evaluate all of this. Yeah. Right, but it is pretty fascinating when you discuss the culture in the locker room and the teams and how all that plays together. And you know, Dave Van Horn, I think he might be the shrink, he might be the psychologist that puts all of the madness together and knows when to push and when to hold, when to fold some of the personalities within the locker room.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is just about the coaches knowing their players, too, and how to push them the right direction more than anything. Because there are I mean, even in the lower levels, when I played in high school, I mean, there were some kids that in order to get them to play at their best, you got in their face and you yelled at them and you screamed at them and it got them mad and they played better that way. But there were other players that you could not do that to because they would completely shut down, so you had to approach them a different way. And that's the thing I think that is most important with even in college sports, too, because you don't have these players for multiple years. I mean, you just have them for a few years here and there, and how important it is for a coach to not only get to know these guys on a personal level, but just to know how to push them in the right direction. And I think that's also something I know Dave Van Horn's talked about and his players have talked about, that he's just really good at managing everybody to know, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do with this guy. Here's how I'm going to approach this guy. If I see this going on in the locker room, I'm going to let the players handle it. And then there's probably times where he's like, I got to jump in here and I got to handle it. I mean, you as a coach, I think that's more important, too, is just to know your players and know what it takes to get them on the right direction, too.
You know what's amazing, too? I think a lot of, and just speaking in general, but back to and on the same topic of where we're at, is, you know, I think a lot of players and kids and parents, you know, that the perception is, well, this is, you know, I don't like to be, no one likes to be screamed at, right? But like I don't play well under that kind of teaching or that kind of coaching, and you know, or the pressure or all of that kind of stuff. But essentially, is that not what the game is about? Mm-hmm. Like if every time you mess up and I pull you over to the corner and we just kind of talk about it real gingerly and real nicely, okay, and then I let you go on. I mean, what we're talking about is that's not – I mean, if you're training daily in a very difficult environment where people are yelling at you, it's crazy. You're simulating the same kind of pressure and anxiety that you face in the most pressure-packed points in your career of playing. And so you're training your mind and your body to handle those conditions. And so for me, even though it was miserable to go through it, those are I almost resent or resist people that feel that the best way for them to play good is to not endure that kind of coaching and teaching. It's not natural to want to do that, but I play better when, shoot. Well, I thought I did too for years until I realized that, you know, I feel like I play better when I'm in the most uncomfortable situations. And I think that's probably true for a lot more people than they realize.
And again, it's about what these guys are able to do, and especially a guy like Dave Van Horn. And yes, putting him in those situations. And that's the point that they got to, because I know Blaine Knight talked about it too, that sometimes he just has to be pushed in the right direction, man. And that's what's been the difference, that is for sure. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. We're going to get to this and more. And again, Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher, will be joining us around 8 o'clock. Before we get into that, here's Tommy Kraft to tell you about Gaston's.
Father's Day is just around the corner, and there's no better place to spend Father's Day than at Gaston's White River Resort. They're going to have an awesome Father's Day brunch on Sunday. Saturday night, they'll feature in their restaurant that overlooks the White River a nice, big, thick slab of prime rib that Dad can enjoy. It's been wood-smoked. Their restaurant's going to be a great way to treat Dad. But the thing that Dad will love, and guys, you need to make your reservation and get up there, is the wonderful fishing with a great guide. So tell your wife, tell your kids, take me to Gaston's for Father's Day. You don't want another tie or some other gift you'll throw in the garage or the closet. Get an experience. Take a trip. Do something you'll remember. Create a memory that'll last a lifetime, and do it at Gaston's White River Resort. Call today. Make your reservation for Father's Day weekend. 870-431-5202. Or go anytime this summer and make that nice family vacation, that nice family trip that you'll remember for years to come. 870-431-5202 for Father's Day or any time this summer. It's Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202 for Gaston's. Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
In my wrong, cause I wanna get it on till I die. In my wrong, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tualaka Ogno, Tualapa Opano, Moses Etimo, Bahi Ono, Vihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Nick Mason. Welcome in Tyler Wilson, former Arkansas Razorback quarterback as well. Thank you for making us a part of your morning this morning. Going to talk a lot about the baseball regional coming up. And I put the poll question out on Twitter, by the way. Instead of saying if Arkansas will sweep this weekend, I just asked, what will Arkansas's record be this weekend? 2-0, 2-1, 1-2, and 0-2. And right now, it's actually surprising. 2-0 is winning by 50% of the voting, but 45% say 2-1. So not as confident, I guess, as I am in Arkansas going undefeated this weekend. But, again, trip to the College World Series on the line for the Razorbacks. And we welcome in Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Tyler, we've been talking a lot about, of course, the Super Regional. We talked about it yesterday. Talking about it again going into it this weekend and whatnot. And one thing that me and Nick talked about was just the talent level of this team and the external factors of other teams that they could end up playing. I mean, I can't think of another time that you have, that anybody has felt as confident in a team winning the national championship because they are the better team in quite some time as far as across the board goes in the three major sports.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting because I think y'all compared this baseball team and any three sports or the major three sports on the campus, and is this the best team the University of Arkansas has ever had? And, you know, I'm sitting here going, okay, pitching. Is this the best pitching staff Arkansas has ever had? And I don't know if you can say that. I mean, I think there's probably some other
right.
other staffs that you go down the history and you go, I think they had a deeper staff, or I think this guy was stronger, first-round draft picks, et cetera. You go through the lineup. Certainly years where you feel like there's more notoriety. Guys that I think have more power in the lineup, guys that bat for better average. Andrew Benintendi comes to mind. Those kind of names. You don't have that on this baseball team. But I think what you do have in this baseball team is a roster from A to Z that's as good as you probably have ever had. There's no holes in this roster. And a lot of times a lot of good's better than a little bit of great. And I think that's what you get with this baseball team. And obviously they've had a tremendous amount of success. I see them potentially taking care of business in two games this week.
See, I do too, and I get what you're saying too, as far as if you look at this, the pitching staff itself. No, I don't think it's the best pitching staff Arkansas has ever had, but I guess it's just the balance of it all, where there's not, like, you don't have an Andrew Benintendi on this field. You don't have, if you want to go on the pitching side, you don't have a Dallas Keuchel. You don't have that type of player, but what you do have is you just have a balance of really good players, good to great players, that there's not necessarily a weak spot on this roster, because there's been previous years where it's like, oh man, all right, you got a great ace pitcher and you probably have a good relief pitcher, but after that, it's slim pickings. Or if you have a nine-hole hitter that's, just can't get it done, you don't have any of that. So I guess maybe as far as the high-end talent, it's not there, but the balance and the consistency of really good talent is there,
right,
too.
Right. I mean, I could sit here and just rattle off, Ibner, Reynolds, Benintendi. I mean, you go through the list, and I'm probably missing some guys, but those are guys that just stand out that, they've been playing and they're still playing. And Keuchel, you bring up really good pitchers. Smiley, all these guys that have had long careers, not only in the minor leagues, but guys that are playing, in the big leagues. And Cliff Lee comes to mind. I saw him out, a couple, as I'm here in the Little Rock area. I think where we're going at is, a lot of good is better than a little bit of great. And you think that maybe this recipe is what it has to take. We'll certainly see. But I think this weekend you're in as good a position as ever to get to the College World Series and make a good run at it.
Yeah, and I think it's even difficult, too, because we've been talking also about Dave Van Horn and just the job he's done and how the feeling that Razorback fans have as far as their chances to win the national title stem a lot from what Dave Van Horn's accomplished in previous years. This isn't just a flash in the pan type of deal. This isn't just, all the stars aligned in one season and this could be the year just because all those things happened. I mean, you've had a consistent foundation that has been built to have success, and now you're looking at the bearing of the fruits from it all. And so you feel like this might be the year too, because not only the stars aligning, but that you got the right staff, the right coach in place to make it happen. And also just shows, how difficult it is that even as great of a coach as Dave Van Horn is, even as great of a team that the Arkansas Razorbacks have had, to be able to get all of that talent into one single year. Because from what it looks like from the MLB draft, a lot of these guys are going to be gone next year. They're not going to be coming back, maybe a few of them. But it just shows you how difficult it is, especially at places like in Arkansas, where you just got to get everything in together. And they haven't, granted, they haven't won the national championship. They haven't done anything yet. But I'm just saying that shows you just how difficult it is just in one year to get it all put together to be able to at least have a legitimate opportunity and chance to win a national championship.
Well, and not only that, Dave Van Horn's been recruiting at a very high level for a decade. And, going back to even when I was in school, and I think beyond, but especially in the last 5 years, you've seen some recruiting classes that come in and they're ranked, you know, by virtually every high school prep and junior college prep magazine and evaluation to be one of the top classes in the country. Mm-hmm. I think one, you had the number one recruiting class in the country. And, you know, some of those years, you hadn't had as much success on the field. And not that that's a detriment to the evaluation process or a detriment to the players that you got in the door, because they were, you know, from a lot of people's perspective, the top players in the country. But the chemistry and everything that goes into it is so fickle. And we talk about it in virtually every sport, whether that's football. We talk about the culture,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Nick, and I know you love that topic, but, but I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. And I think, it's a combination of continuing to knock on the door, get the best players, and then find the right makeup and the right mix of the chemistry, and then you know, A to Z, avoid any real gap, and they've bridged the gap nicely.
I'd even also bring up the argument too that and you can bring this up for any sport as well at Arkansas, that there's been a lot of times too where you may have felt that they were a really good team, had a lot of talent or whatever, but they beat themselves. Mm-hmm. It was always about, okay, it wasn't that. This team, like I think back to, I guess it wasn't in the 2012 year that everyone thinks about with the Perry Costello fiasco that was going on with that, and how everybody was so upset by the umpire against South Carolina in the College World Series. You know, no one looks back at that and says, well, South Carolina was a better team. People look back at that and says, well, Perry Costello screwed us. It was just like there's that time where it was like you felt like, okay, there was that chance, there was that opportunity they could have won. But there was something else going on. Where in this year, you haven't, again, knock on wood, but you haven't had that yet to where Arkansas has beat themselves. They've choked away a game. They've choked away a series. They've done a bunch of stupid things to really cost them some games. I mean, you haven't seen that in it this year, and you're hoping that can carry over in the postseason. I think that's another reason why it adds to that confidence of just how good this team really is.
Yeah, you know, and I think too, what are the variables? What are the things that have changed? Obviously, you see some of the names on the back of the jersey. Those have changed due to the nature of college sports and, you know, sports as a whole. But, you know, for the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, previous to probably the last 2 or 3. You've had some mix-up on the staff as well,
yep.
In terms of coaching staff. And those were, you know, from a lot of people's insight that are in the state go, you know, why change something that's having success? Well, I think from Dave's perspective, we're not having enough success because I'm trying to knock it over and win the whole thing. And, you know, whether that's been, you know, maybe criticized or a leap of faith here or there and changing things up. And, you know, Dave's not on the third baseline anymore. I mean, that's something that, you know, probably has happened a little longer than – but this weekend, total, there's been some change. And I think, you know, Dave's evolved. I think the program as a whole has evolved with different philosophies and mindsets and teachings. Whether that's on the staff, hitting and pitching, you know, so there's definitely been some mix up and change, but there's been one consistent, and that's been Dave Van Horn.
Yeah, and you know, that needs to be something I want to bring up to here this hour as well. It's just the support staff that Dave has been able to surround himself with, because you know, it's one thing that in football when we've talked about Chad Morris or Bobby Petrino, when it's like they're involved with so many things and they are doing all the coaching and all that, you know, there's that style of coaching, but then there's also coaching of just making sure that you get the right guys in place, hiring the right assistant coaches to be able to take you to that next level too. I think Dave Van Horn's got a little bit of both, but you know, to go out and make sure that when you have staff mix up, because here's the thing that you, and we all know this, if you're a team, and especially in college sports, that's really successful, keeping assistant coaches on staff is going to be difficult because people are going to come after those coaches. They're going to want them to get head coaching jobs because they're saying, hey, whatever they're doing over there is working. We can't get the head guy, so maybe we'll go and get one of his assistants, and they can bring some of that success over to us. I mean, that happens in every sport and every facet of the game. But for Dave to have that, where you've had some really good coaches leave, for him to go out and replace them, and in some cases replace them with coaches that may be even better than what he had, I think that's another thing that's really undervalued in the coaching profession, especially for a guy like Dave Van Horn.
Yeah, I mean, you throw out a guy like Todd Butler.
Yeah.
Todd was there for years and very instrumental in recruiting, did a great job in recruiting. Obviously, you got to replace him. You make a couple changes, and down the line here, now you're with Nate Thompson, which is, you know, a Missouri State background. Mm-hmm. You know, and even back when I was, I mean, how many years was Dave Jordan there?
Forever.
And you know, he kind of has one of those legacies as being one of the great pitching coaches. And you know, it kind of scratch your head when you make a move there, and then all of a sudden, you don't have a whole lot of drop off. So I mean, there's been decisions made by Dave that I think have turned out very well for him.
Yeah, and I mean, he's that again. It just goes back to how he's gotten to the point where he's at now, because he is a great coach. But when you actually break down of how he's been able to do it, he's had great recruiting, he's had great players, and we know that's all about the Jimmys and Joes when it comes to being an elite team. But it's also about making sure you have the right guys around those players and having the right staff and continue to progress in your stature. Because Dave Van Horn, he's not going to put up with losing. He's not going to put up with, this guy's been loyal to me forever, so I got to stick with him. No, he's going to make sure that he has the best guys in place. And I don't know how long that the coaches that he has under him right now with Wes Johnson.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Get it on till I die, get it on till I die. Y'all remember me, y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tualaka Ogno, Tualapa Opano, Moses Etimo, Vahi Ono, Vihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening in this morning. John Neighbors, Nick Mason in studio with you. Tommy is out today taking a vacation.
Vacation.
I saw a picture. He was at a movie theater last night with his family, seeing some movies. So that's considered to me a vacation. So he's on vacation for the weekend. So you're going to have us, Tyler Wilson, the former Arkansas Razorback quarterback, will be joining us this morning as well. Scott Tabor, former Arkansas Razorback pitcher, at 8 o'clock this morning. Just like every Friday, because it's going to be a big weekend for the Arkansas Razorback baseball team. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in if you want to get in on a conversation. You can also tweet at us at Morning Rush Show and tell us how terrible we are if you want to do that. So it's going to be a fun morning. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. I know everyone's excited about that part of the aspect. I know I am. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Arkansas baseball, the Super Regional, as officially arrived as you can have it on this radio show. I know the game's not until tomorrow, technically. First game's not until tomorrow. But it is officially arrived. And it's amazing just how much excitement is surrounding this baseball program right now. I've been saying it all weekend. I think you're starting to really see the buildup from it. No one can find tickets. I've had more people tweeting at me and texting me, asking me, hey, I need this amount of tickets. Or, hey, can I get some tickets from you? I don't have any. I don't know anybody that does have any. And if they do have them, they're going to sell them for over what you can afford. In fact, if you looked on StubHub, the cheapest ticket you could get is $63 for one game. Let me rephrase that for you. $63 for one game, a college baseball game, at Bomb Stadium this weekend.
Wow.
You tell me that's not a big event for the Razorbacks right now.
Yeah. $63 for the cheapest ticket you can get. And then the cheapest ticket on the secondary market. It's not. I could see maybe if you're saying if you call the Razorback Foundation, this is the cheapest ticket. But you're saying if you go online and try to find a ticket anywhere in America right now online, it's going to be at least $63.
Yeah, for one game.
That's big time. Listen, I brought this up, and I'm proud of myself.
By the way, before I say, I just want to make sure that I'm talking about an actual seat, though. Obviously, in the hog.
Oh, well,
You can get cheaper.
Nah.
But, yeah, right, for an actual right. seat, yeah.
Right. But, and I brought this up. What other sporting event holds 125% of their capacity? Just let me know. Don't get me wrong. It's great to be in Bud Walton. I know they had the list of all the top basketball venues that came out. And, hey, all of those are great. none of them are holding 125% capacity.
No.
It's great to be in what's Tennessee Stadium? Neyland Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to be there with 100,000 people, Death Valley, where else? Alabama, Ohio State. Those are great. They're not packing it out at 125%. And, hey, my math isn't great, but Baum Stadium holds 10,000 people. There could be 12,500, 13,000. Yep. Folks, that's about 125%.
Yeah. And I fully believe that there will be that this weekend. I mean, the weather's going to be holding up for it. Everyone knows what's at stake. Everyone knows what's on the line. The winner of two games this weekend heads to Omaha. And also, this is going to be the last chance you get to see the Razorbacks in Baum Stadium, too, for the season. And it's just so funny because I know we've talked about this, too, but it's just so different than it is any other sport because you have, in postseason play, a home field advantage. You get to play a postseason game or multiple postseason games in your home stadium. And there's really not any other sport at the college level, or at least a major college level, that has that. And so there's that other extra element. Because I'm telling you right now, if they found a way to where in college football you started playing playoff games to go to the championship at home instead of in these quote-unquote bowl games, you'd probably have a pretty electric atmosphere for that one too. So let's just be honest. But we're talking about baseball. And since none of the other sports are like that, yeah, it's just the capacity crowd is going to be there. And what Dave Van Horn has been able to do, not only this season, but every single year, I think is also added to the buildup of excitement for this weekend alone. The long track, the long record of success and greatness from his previous seasons has added into this moment. Because this is not just a shot in the pan. This is not just a flash in the pan. This is not just, no, random lightning striking, and then after this, it's going to be gone, and it never was there before. You've had a building of a program that was set. The foundation was laid by Norm DeBrien. You brought in Dave Van Horn, and he has built on that foundation and elevated it to where there's been a few years where you had very successful seasons making it into the World Series, having a chance, and playing for a national championship. You've had those elements, haven't been able to get it done just yet. But all that's building up. But what's different about this year? And this is going to be our main question for the rest of the show. What is different about this year, this team under Dave Van Horn? What's different about it from all of his previous ones? Why is it that this team is the team that everyone feels like the truly, not just a, oh, we have a chance. Not just a, oh, well, if you know, if this thing happens and this thing happens, then we might be able to sneak in. Why is it that this team has the legitimate chance and opportunity to win the national championship? What other sport have you been able to say that about, first off, in a long time? Because even, you know, no disrespect to Towers, teams, and Bobby Petrino, I think people felt like it was there, but you still had Alabama in the way. You
and
know what
LSU.
I'm saying? You still had LSU in the way. Like, you still had those teams where it's like, yeah, you're really, really, really good, but you still had those teams in front of you. But the number one team right now, folks, is Florida. You know Florida, that team you've beaten twice already. If Arkansas faced Florida in the national championship game, how confident are you that Arkansas would win that game? Pretty confident. Not saying they for sure would, because Florida's a good team. But you have that confidence because of what they've been able to do, because you feel like your team is better than them.
I'd sign up for that right now. If you said, okay, Arkansas, Florida, national championship, let's go. I'd say, okay, yeah. I'd sign up. I'd sign up for that matchup
every
right
day.
Now.
In fact, I don't. And that's why I think, at least in my opinion, that's what makes this team and this year so different from any other year under Van Horn. Where it's not like, oh, if we have to face LSU, maybe not. Oh, if we have to face South Carolina, maybe not. No, it doesn't matter who you face. It doesn't matter. Like, is there a team as a Razorback fan? And I don't know how much everybody follows college baseball in general. But at least at this point in time, you know who are the teams left. Is there a team that you're scared of? That you don't feel like, ooh, if we had to face them, I don't like our chances. No. You have some of the best talent. You have some great pitching. You have great hitting. You have great coaching. You have it all going on. And there's not a single other team right now that's still alive of the final 16 teams that you feel any type of nervousness or shock, or anything like that. And to me, that's what has made this year's team so different. is because you haven't had that element. You haven't had that much talent, that much ability, that much success so far in a single season than what you're having right now. And so when you have that from building up from what Dave Van Horn's been able to do every single year, you felt like he was always so close, but all he needed was another pitcher here or another hitter here. Just something a little small, little that he could have just taken and had. It would have made the difference in the season. Well, he's got all those elements. I don't think there's a single player on the roster that you look at and be like, ooh, yeah, they're the weak spot. You don't have that. Even guys that have had some struggles throughout the year, even a guy like Isaiah Campbell. It's not that he's a bad player. It's not that he's going to cost you games. He's just got to get over a little bit of a hump. He has these little struggles. And, you know, Dave Van Horn obviously feels confident in the guys behind Isaiah Campbell to take him out of the first inning and booked in Jake Rindle. And look what happened. They still won the game. So that's what's so incredible about this team in this season, is you don't have anybody that's standing in your way from winning a national championship. You're the fifth national seed. And of the four teams in front of you, two of them are gone. Stanford and Ole Miss. Two of them are gone. Those are the teams that are considered better than you. Another team, like Georgia, gone. That was right under you as a national seed at number eight. Gone. Those teams have struggled. Those teams obviously couldn't get it done. You got it done with really not even breaking a sweat over the weekend in the regional. If you go into this super regional and you go 2-0, win those two games against South Carolina with no really any surprises or any craziness or anything bad that you feel like is going to happen, any surprises there, all bets are off when it comes to Omaha and winning the national championship. It's as simple as that. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. We're going to continue our conversation of the Super Regionals this weekend. We're also going to get into some talk of some storylines that came out yesterday that I can't wait. One of them being Terrell Owens.
Oh, man.
I want to talk about that.
I think it came out 2 days ago, maybe two or three days ago. But
It's garnered the attention where he declined an invite to the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Oh, you're talking about that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Did you not hear about his other one?
Yeah, I heard about his other one.
Okay, the one where he's trying to come back and play?
Yeah. I heard that.
Now, hold on. He's not out here. He's not out here petitioning for a job.
No.
But if the right opportunity presents itself, and you know, anytime an old player comes back, and this just shows how much confidence he has in himself, anytime an older player comes back, they always come back to what? A championship team. You see it in the NFL. Mm-hmm. James Harrison, he's come back a couple of times now for what? Championship teams. You see it in the NBA. You see guys all the time. Ray Allen, whenever he was with the Miami Heat, he kept coming back and kept coming back for a championship team. Paul Pierce, he hung around a little bit around the Clippers and
what was it, Karl Malone and Gary Payton when they went to the Lakers.
And Gary Payton. You see that, but T.O. came out and said the right opportunity. So I'm thinking he sent all the Patriots if he's on Super Bowl run team. He said if it's a team that is either on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl or if it's a team not in the playoffs and they need to get over that hump, he feels like he can help that team out.
Yeah. No, we'll definitely talk about that too. So I think it's interesting, fascinating, and everyone's up in arms. How dare he decline an invitation to come to the Hall of Fame ceremony? You don't realize what everybody else has done. Hey, I don't have a problem with it. You know why? Because it's T.O.
Yeah.
That's who T.O. is. None of you should be surprised by it. 877-377-6963.
Listen, my man. Hey, okay.
Wait,
hold on. I got at least 60 seconds, right? So I'm rushing in this morning. I'm flying. And as I'm passing by the donut shop, I see Officer Breeden, and he's sitting right there. Uh-oh, he turned his lights on. Uh-oh. So maybe he's coming here to give me a ticket.
I want to go take a commercial break.
But he's sitting right there. And the reason I was almost late is because I saw him out the corner of my eye, so I had to slow down. Had it not been for him, I'd been 5 minutes early.
Oh, well, can't win them all, I guess. No, but we'll see what he wants here in just a second. This is the Morning Rush. We'll get to more of the show on the other side of the break.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
5-3. Razorback videos, articles, and podcasts. Find them all at hitthatline.com. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush on this Fastball Friday, presented by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. We're going to be talking plenty of baseball today. I mean, my goodness, what more exciting thing can happen this weekend? As a sports talk radio guy, I am so happy that the Razorbacks are making it this far. Because imagine if the Razorbacks got bounced this past weekend out of the regional. What do you think we'd be discussing right now?
The basketball
Stanley Cup finals last night.
The basketball SEC schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'd be as desperate to discuss.
I mean, we'd find things, and I think we'd probably have some football guys on and stuff too. But
a bunch of just made up segments, the NBA finals, and probably the SEC basketball schedule.
Yeah. I think that'd be the extent of what we'd be doing. So, but you have something going on,
yeah,
as well.
We got a basketball camp. It's next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'll be out next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. We have a basketball camp. It's for kids that are in kindergarten all the way up through seventh. But there will be two sessions. The first session will be kindergarten through third, and then the second session will be fourth through seventh. First session starts at 9, so it's from 9 to noon, and then the second session is from 1 to 4. It's at the Bentonville Community Center. You can go online to Bentonville Community Center. You can click on their website and go to camps and register that way. Or you can keep it easy, and you can email me, info@arhoops.com. Once again, that is info@arhoops.com. I can get you signed up. I can get you registered. And parents, I know all summer long you look for things for your kids to do. You also look for people to babysit your kids. You look for places to be able to drop your kids off. Well, this is a great place to drop them off. They'll have fun. They'll learn a little basketball skill, and they'll go home a better basketball player.
So who's going to be teaching this game? Is it going to be you?
Yeah, I'll be an instructor, and then there are a couple of AAU coaches who are coming up, a couple of high school coaches, former high school coaches who are coming up as well. And we'll have a bunch of things to give away, some autograph items. We'll have some Nike shorts, some Nike shirts, and just have a real good time.
Yeah. All right, well, there you have it. Yeah, go check that out for sure, and yeah, I'm going to give you Nick crap about that until, you know, the show ends, probably.
What?
Just because, I mean, you at a camp and coaching and all that stuff, it's just, I never would have dreamed that would happen.
Well, I'm more of the supervisor.
That's kind of what I was leaning towards as well. Yeah.
No, in which I do on the court stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am, I'm like Rhett Bielema. I like to surround myself with greatness and just be the CEO.
Yeah, saw how that worked out for him.
I mean, he got $12 million.
Well, okay, yeah.
Sign me up for that today.
Hey, I think we'd all take that money. So speaking of basketball a little bit, just to bring this up, because I know it's, again, all about baseball today. But the Arkansas Razorbacks did come out with their what games they'll be playing at home in the SEC.
Ooh.
Yeah. But they're traveling. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri A&M, and Vanderbilt.
So teams, no Kentucky.
No Kentucky. They're traveling to Kentucky.
And I think that's really, at this point in the league, is that the only team that you really care about playing at home?
Yeah, I think so. And, well, actually, no, I take that back. Is the other team, Florida. I think this is the first time in like 6 straight years Arkansas is not playing at Florida. They just have them at home this year.
Okay.
I was wondering when that was going to happen. But yeah, so, I mean, because Arkansas hasn't won at Florida since 96, I think. I mean, think about that. They've beaten Kentucky twice on the road since they've beaten Florida on the road.
Wow.
Been a long time. So, but yes, Arkansas will travel to Auburn, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. So Kentucky and Tennessee are probably going to be the two best teams in the SEC next year.
Well, they got cheated at Florida
When was that? That Landis was, Harris was playing.
Yeah, that was the Bobby Portis year where they were the best team that they had with the Qualls and all them.
Yeah, and then...
Because they called a foul on Landis where he literally did not touch the guy at the very end of the game and ended up giving them the go-ahead two free throws to take the lead.
It was a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know. Do you think that that game was worse or the North Carolina game... Not Latin or
when they
or not
were
this
in the
past.
Tournament,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
two years ago.
I mean, obviously the gravity of the situation in North Carolina was a much bigger one. I think the North Carolina one was worse, just because it's like, okay, you lost to four on the road. It's during a, you know, on a Saturday. It's in the middle of the SEC. They don't have the best officiating up there, but it's like in the NCAA tournament, you expect to get the calls right.
That was bad.
But that was bad. So you're bringing up old bad memories, too, about that. Because I remember watching it, and I was like, okay, you have to call something.
That was bad.
And I don't know how we got rehashing this.
And I can't recall all of the bad calls, but I remember one of the Tar Heels walking, and them not calling. Like, the kid took, like, five steps, and them not calling him, them missing a foul. There was another one where a Florida guy blocked a shot and went out of bounds, but then they said he didn't block it and that the Arkansas player shot it and somehow it stopped midair and then went out of bounds, and it just was like, come on.
Well, he just like, you ran over Adrio Bailey.
Ran him over.
And
I forgot about that one.
And yeah. That's the one I was talking about. He ran him over.
A charge, yeah.
So they could have called a charge.
They called probably, a block.
They didn't call anything.
Oh, yeah.
And then he walked after he did that.
Walked after he did that.
Still never got any
call. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he made the shot, and everyone was like, what?
What?
Like,
yeah.
You got to call something. I understand swallowing the whistle late in the game.
But that happened twice. Another time, an Arkansas player got ran over and they called a block, and it shouldn't have been a block. Mm-hmm. It should have been a charge.
Yeah. No, that was an interesting tournament, too, because if you remember the game before that in Seton Hall, they had the intentional foul call that basically gave Arkansas the victory there. So, man, yeah, we're going down memory lane as far as past. See, you're bringing up bad memories when it comes. See, that's the thing that sucks about Arkansas basketball, or just basketball in general, is that most of the time, even though Arkansas had some good teams, you got sour taste in your mouth from the way that those seasons ended.
At least that one year, whenever they brought all the players back, we beat Georgia. So that's a good memory.
Which one's that?
You remember Pelfrey's second year, whenever they had like the ceremony for bringing all of the players back?
Yeah, at least there was that. Yeah, you
at
were
least
on that.
We beat Georgia.
Yeah, you were on that team. That was one of the two, wasn't it? One of the two SEC victories that year. So,
yeah.
If you want to look at silver linings, yeah. But anyways, that's the schedule. Going to be looking like for the SEC basketball slate next season for Arkansas. Kentucky will be on the road. No surprises there, but at least you get Florida at home, I guess. But Tennessee's going to be, I think,
good.
The team, man.
Auburn's going to be good again. So, and who's Arkansas play twice on there?
Well, they play LSU, A&M, and Missouri for sure, because those are their three permanent opponents that they play home and home every year. The other ones, it looks like it's going to be having because they don't have it set up kind of differently here, so I'm having to like count it. Ole Miss, they play twice.
Okay, that's good, because Ole Miss is probably going to be the worst team in the league.
And Vanderbilt, they play twice.
And, well, yeah, okay. So. Well, Vandy will be talented because they have the two freshmen that are in the top 20 coming
in.
Yeah,
well, as far as the teams that Arkansas has to play twice, I mean, I don't think Missouri will be good. I don't think they'll be great, but they'll be good. Texas A&M is always going to be good.
They'll be solid.
Yeah, LSU,
but they're
probably
losing a lot. Yeah,
they'll probably be really
LSU.
Good.
So, I mean, I think the league next year, I wouldn't be surprised outside of Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going to be last, and I think Kentucky's going to be first. Everything in between, though, I think it could be rearrange a number of different ways.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know what Arkansas is even going to look like next year. I don't think anybody does. I know that they're going to. I don't think there's ever been a time where they've had to replace more. Maybe after Pelfrey's first year, when you had all those seniors with Towns and Thomas and Hill and all that, and then the next year you had the only one that was a familiar face was Steph Welsh and Michael Washington.
But even then, though, you're naming me too. Next year,
yeah,
as far as guys
Gafford.
To depend on. Now, I know Adriel, but like Adriel was sick the last 2 months of the
That's
season.
True.
So he had a bunch of DMP CDs or whatever. And so it's just, man, it's up in the air. I mean,
this team
could be anything because, yeah, the only returning guy that you have confidence in is Gafford, and for everybody else, they're either a newcomer or they haven't played a lot of minutes. You look at a guy like a Jalen Harris. He transfers in. He has to sit out last year. Khalil Garland, is he going to be cleared? Can he play or not? Gabe, what's he going to do? Because he didn't get a ton of time last year. So really it's Gafford and then a bunch of guys that are trying to figure it out right now.
Yeah. I see this team either being really, really bad or being a team that gets to that 17-18 win mark. You know, it's just it's kind of going to be in there. I don't see him making the tournament.
Really bad is what? Well, 12 wins?
I'd say
14 wins.
I don't think they'll be even that bad, but I'd say a losing record is bad. So I think that that's the minimum they would be.
Mike's never had a losing record.
I know, but how many teams can you say that's looked like this though? It's that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But we don't know what to expect because there's a lot of new guys going to be on the team.
The year that Bobby Portis and Mike Qualls went pro, and then Ted Kapita, he didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Ja'Cory got kicked out of school.
Anton didn't play for the first half of the year.
Anton didn't play. That year, they were 500, and there are a lot of people comparing that team to this team and saying that these kids are more talented than that team.
Might be.
That year, you did have Dusty Hannes and
Moses,
two guys that had been around.
And Anton Bell, who had...
He
wasn't great, but he had experience, and he averaged like 15 a game. Right. I mean, but he only had three offensive pieces on that team. All three of those guys had to get like 15 points a game for Arkansas to even win some of those matchups. But this is going to be a tough one. But anyways, just wanted to give everybody the update on the schedule. That's what you're looking at right now. We're going to get into everyone's favorite segment of the day here in just a second. But first, I got to tell you about Crabtree RV. Stop by Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13th off I-40. Next to the Cracker Barrel, and tell them Omahawks. Just go up there and say Omahawks, and they will give you an extra $1,000 off a new travel trailer or motorhome. Crabtree RV all the way to Omaha. Get an extra $1,000 off. Just say Omahawks at Crabtree RV in Alma, where your family's dreams come true.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.